Welcome to Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid Podcast.
Support for Y Nada Más is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels, and Manscaped is also trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Join the movement for all your below-the-waist grooming needs. Manscaped just launched in the UK and in Europe, and you guys have gone years without using the right tools for the job. You can be one of the first men in England or in Europe to experience their life-changing products. Listen, guys, it's happened to all of us. We used to try and shave our nuts with everything, whether it was our beard trimmer, whether it was our regular straight razor, whether it was, you know, our typical shaver. Everything. We tried everything, scissors, what have you, and we'd always end up with the same results, which was a bad shave, nicked ball sack, all sorts of, you know, whether it was blood and cuts and nicks and just itchy redness. It completely sucked. It happened to me on many occasions using what was a beard trimmer, and I'd always end up nicking my nut sack, and that is absolutely a painful experience. Don't let that happen to you. I'm not letting it happen to me anymore. That's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. The Manscaped engineering team has perfected what is the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created, and they just released the new improved Lawnmower 3.0 in the UK, in Europe, all over. So you guys can find it over there, and you can finally start using something state-of-the-art. Instead of using what you were using before, you savages, their third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents like what I was talking about, the redness, the itching, the cuts. Stop all that. When I tell you this is premium, I mean it's premium. The battery will last up to 90 minutes so you can take a longer shave. And let's be real, you don't need more than, what, 5, 10 minutes? Maybe 15 minutes for a good shave. If you need 90 minutes for a shave, you definitely need to see a specialist. The waterproof technology allows you to groom in the shower. And one of the coolest features is the LED light, which illuminates grooming areas for a closer and more precise trimming. If you want to get all weird and get all sexy with yourself, you know, turn the lights down low, turn up the candle lights while you're taking a shower by yourself, and you want to, you know, trim your nutsack, this LED light is for you. They've also upgraded to a 7,000 RPM motor with QuietStrow technology. And let's not forget about the charging stand. Show your mower off loud and proud, because this intelligently designed stand is a convenient charging dock powered by USB. Just the same power dock that you can use to charge your nut trimmer, you can use to charge your phone. That's how forward thinking these guys are. Listen, if you're listening to speak right now, I want you to experience it firsthand for yourself. Let's get that bush to tush clean, guys. You know, your bush on your nutsack all the way to the back, right to the butt, right there in the grundle, you know, that area that is like no man's land, that is like that World War I no man's land that nobody wanted to mess with. Finally, man, you have a trimmer that you can use to go down there. The gooch, as they call it. I mean, look, get 20% off plus free shipping with the code YNM at manscaped.com. Make your testies their besties. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code YNM at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. And all you have to do is use the code YNM. Listen, your balls will thank you.
This is Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid Podcast.
Oh, man. Well, the sad music is for a reason, and you guys all know. If you follow me on Twitter, and I know some of you guys do on football Twitter, as they call it. You know, we lost this game. Real Madrid lost this game against Levante. And it's a sad state of affairs. Totally sad state of affairs. You know, the team is, I think, you know, there's a lot of things I want to talk about in this podcast. But definitely not feeling good, not happy. I kind of took a break after watching that game yesterday. And the funny thing is, here's the crazy thing, is that I had to watch that game on delay, because my son had a soccer game that morning, and you know, it was the last one of his season or whatnot, so I was gonna watch it. I had to go to the game. I mean, I'm going to the game, obviously. It's 9:30 in the morning, so I knew, okay, I'm by the time I get back, you know, we usually, you know, we wanted to take him out to breakfast or whatever after the game. So I decided, hey, after the game, take him out to breakfast, come back. It's probably going to be the second quarter, so I'll start the game from the first quarter. So, got home. I avoided the phone. I avoided Twitter. I avoided everything. I said, all right, I'm going to turn this thing on. Going to start from the beginning. And I watched the whole game. I watched the whole first half, and believe it or not, I think I got, I don't know if it was a text from my job or something like that, that I needed to answer right away. And as soon as I got that text, obviously, you know, the score pops up, and it was already like in what, the 80th minute of the second half, you know, even though I was watching it on delay. So I was, you know, just about to start the second half, and I saw the score. And I just immediately pissed me off, and I decided to watch the rest of the game to see what happened. And I was just, you know, it is what it is, man. This is Madrid now. This is Madrid now. And I'll get to it in a few minutes. You know, I'm not going to be all doom and gloom, because I am not a reactionary Madridista. I do believe we've reached the end of the road. And what I mean by that is, you know, I think it's all over. It's all over for, a lot of things are over, but let's talk about, you know, not only are a bunch of things over, but there's a bunch of things starting. So there are positives to this. It's not all negatives. But some people just have to realize and think with, I think some Madridistas have to think about it with, you know, a level head, you know, after a loss like this. And with what we have currently. So anyway, you guys can follow me on Twitter, on Instagram, and on Facebook at Inadamas Podcast. You can also follow me on YouTube. The channel that we have is Real Madrid Hub, H-U-B, Real Madrid Hub, all together, one word, Real Madrid Hub. Look it up. You should be able to find it. On YouTube, we don't, you know, we want to get to 100 subscribers, obviously, because that makes us get that, you know, cool, we can name we can actually have our own URL. So help us get to 100 subscribers. Just check us out. It's actually a project between myself and Jota Real Madrid. You know, I've talked about him a couple times here. Jota Real Madrid, Dr. Jota, he goes by two different names because he has two different channels. One where he's kind of more as a podcast, sitting in front of the camera, talking about, you know, different Real Madrid news, and it goes a little bit more extensive. And then he has Jota Real Madrid, which are like quick takes, you know, of news happening from Real Madrid. And all of this stuff is in Spanish. So what he did with me, what we decided to do is, because, you know, we're both very big fans of Real Madrid, was we got together and I am helping him with the channel that he wanted to create in English, because he's doing the Spanish one all by himself. But on this one, I told him, you know, I can help him out, because he's already, you know, got so much focused on his own channel. And his own channel is doing awesome, guys. So if you do speak Spanish, go check it out. He's got like 100-something thousand subscribers. You know, he's always uploading videos all the time. I mean, definitely check him out. Really good stuff. I mean, he's keeping me up to date more often than not on a lot of this stuff and sending me information and news and things like that. And that's helped me with this podcast, believe it or not. So definitely check that out as well. In addition to that, check out our website, info@inadamas.net, which is where you can find our podcast. If you are not following on all the other podcasting outlets like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, you can check it out on the website, inadamas.net. All of our episodes are there. Also articles from my good friend Trombach, who is kind of my guy right now, my right-hand man when it comes to the articles. So because we don't have any writers, I'm trying to get more writers to jump on board with us. So, you know, we're a growing team. My team besides myself is essentially Trombach and then my designers and my web guy, which aren't really that much football fans except one guy, and they help me out to the best of their ability, but they can't stay on top of it as much as I can, or nor do they have the desire to. So it's it's a labor of love, guys. It's a labor of love, and that's it's a labor of love, and that's why I'm here. So with that said, thank you for again for supporting obviously the podcast, and make sure you tune in, and let's get to the nitty-gritty of this thing. So Levante versus Real Madrid. I'm going to be honest with you. The game was an uphill battle from the get-go. Okay? Militao. Let's talk about Militao for a second. So, I honestly want to give Militao a chance. I've seen stuff from him. You know, I've seen highlights from him, obviously, from his Porto days. I've seen things and flashes of him at Real Madrid, and I don't think we're really seeing much of him. And when we do see him, we see flashes of some good stuff. But, you know, he's really lower on the pecking order when you think about players that are there like Sergio Ramos, which we'll get into, of course, Varane, which we'll also get into, and Nacho. And, of course, you know, now Militao as well. So, but the thing about the game was it was an uphill battle from the get-go, because let's be real about the situation. I mean, we played a game against Levante with 10 men. We were missing. Okay, so one thing I want to do is, if you hear me rambling, you hear this. You hear that? I don't know if you hear that. It's like liquid, right? I'm drinking whiskey right now. That's how mad I am. I don't usually drink while I'm podcasting, but I'm drinking whiskey right now to drown out my sorrows. That's how much I care about this team. Enough to drink while I'm podcasting. All right. So, and it's good, by the way, it's really good. So Militao, you know, I don't think he's been given a fair shake. Who has been, you know, with Zidane at the helm. And I love Zidane. You know, I really like him a lot. And I've liked what he's done with the club in the past. And I like, you know, and I believe the situation is when, you know, he did well with the club that he had. And that's why I say, you know, you can't blame Zidane for things because, you can't blame everything on Zidane, because essentially he was, you know, when he came back to the team, he came back to a team that was essentially a shell of its former self. So like I've said before, and like many of you know, obviously Cristiano is gone. He's a distant memory and people got to get over it. I'm not over it, so I'm not expecting you guys to be, but you know, we have to get over it. There's nobody in the world that can replace a Cristiano Ronaldo on a Real Madrid team. Because there's nobody in the world other than Leo Messi, who plays for our biggest rival, that can match the stats and play at the same level of Cristiano Ronaldo. So replacing him, you're going to need 2, 3, 4 absolute maniac goal scorers. You know, you're going to have to get goals from your wingers, from your striker, from your midfielders. That's the way you're going to have to, what you're going to have to do in order to win titles with this Real Madrid without Cristiano. And essentially last season, we were able to do that when we won La Liga title because our goals were coming from everywhere. You know, they were coming from all different players. Benzema, Sergio Ramos, Kroos, Casemiro, Vinicius, even, you know, had some there, Rodrigo, you know, it was, you know, there were different goals coming from different people. So, and this year it just seems like all of that dried up, you know. So going back to the Militao situation, like I said, I think it was an uphill battle from the get-go. A lot of people are saying, you know, it wasn't a red card. I think it was a red card because he was the last man, you know. And it was a dumb move because I do feel that I forgot who the Levante player was. Was it Sergio León? Who was going there at that moment? But he was running forward or whatever, and when Varane and Militao were running after him, and then Odriozola, I think, was running back also parallel to him. So yeah, it was Sergio León. So Sergio León is running, and he actually gives a heavy touch. So had Militao not, you know, tripped him, not, you know, bumped into him or whatever, I'm of the belief the ball would have gone a little bit too long and they would have been able to get into position. But whatever. It happened. So he touches him. It wasn't a brutal touch or anything like that. And he goes down, and obviously he's last man. You know, the ref gives him a yellow card, and then he comes back and gives him a red card. It's outside the box. It's not inside the box. That it happened. So he gets a red card, and that's minute 9 of the game. So it was an uphill battle from there. And then obviously you have, you know, you just have what is the individualities of greatness that we do still have on the team, which really reside in only, I would say, Modric, Casemiro, and Kroos, and Courtois at this point, on the field that day. And they, you know, Kroos sets up a beautiful pass for Asensio. Asensio, you know, runs down that right flank and ends up scoring a goal. So that made me happy. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, things are going to turn around for the better. But there was really, It's always tough to play a team when you're down a man, because you're always going to have to account for that extra man. The first goal, essentially, you know, we start getting pinned back. And for me, Odriozola was just, I've been saying, he's not a Madrid caliber player. I've never really been impressed by him. He's speedy, he's quick, but that's pretty much all he has, in my opinion. So what ends up happening is, you know, he loses his marker, and he loses in the first goal. He basically loses sight of the far post, the guy that's running behind him, which is none other than Comandante Morales, you know, who is Levante's best player and has been a nightmare for Real Madrid every time Levante plays him. And he scores the goal. So it's 1-1 now, and you're in a dire situation because essentially you are now, you know, you're down a man and the game is tied. It gives the other team the morale boost to know that they can now go out for the win. And that's essentially what happened. I mean, the team was just, you know, they're running ragged because the other team is running up and down the field. They had the, you know, they're speedy, whether it's whether it's Morales, whether it's Martí, you have other players on this team, which is you want to say it's Meleno, I think it's who it is, but you have speedy players on the team, And that's essentially what they were trying to track back. You know, you have Mendy, who, you know, is solid defensively, but on attack he's not anything to write home about. Odriozola for me was always a liability. He was a liability on set plays. We almost got scored on with a set play because obviously he's not tall. He wasn't playing well. And then Vinicius, my God, when they brought in Vinicius, I mean, he's essentially just, oh, you know, it's the second, what is it? The second time we've gotten scored on like that by a team that's considerably a lesser team. Alcoyano, now Levante, where he's just, you know, he's supposed to be covering, you know, at least the outside of the box or that area just inside the box. And he's just not there. And Marti had all the time in the world to not only stop the ball, but hit it on the volley. So, I mean, it's just attitude, guys. The attitude of this team is absolutely shot. I don't know where Hazard is. You know, I didn't think he was the worst player on the field at this time. Is he going to get better? I don't know. Is he going to get back to that status? I don't know. And I don't think he's got the players. And here's the other thing. I don't think he has the players around him to be able to benefit from any of this. You know, we're not talking about a Hazard who's surrounded by players, you know, that are, Mendy is not good offensively, so he's not going to help him. Benzema's dropping back. So they do some pretty good plays together, but they're not, you know, it's not producing the results. Asensio is not the same player he once was. You know, what happened to the Asensio that was that, you know, essentially was a world beater, you know, essentially was showing us that he was this sort of wonder kid, you know, and that's gone too. So there was actually, I think, the cover of Marca today. And by today, I mean, you know, today, because it's nighttime here in Miami, but it's probably already early morning in Spain. The cover for Marca was essentially, it's time for the players to wake up. And I can't agree more. We cannot continue. Like a lot of you guys here, I feel like a lot of Madridistas are on Twitter just, you know, yelling from the rooftops about Zidane being terrible. And this is the thing that I've always thought about coaching. Coaches can only do so much. They're not on the field. Players can have fantastic practice. They can do really well. They can look good on the, you know, they can look good on the practice field and then just play like absolute garbage. You could have everything. You could have the tactics, you know, just the tactics are perfect, you know. But then when they're out on the field, whether they have the attitude, whether they want to implement it, whether they're feeling well for that game, who knows? But we've seen this lackluster attitude from Real Madrid for what has been since the beginning of the season. And I think somebody was saying, or somebody at some point, somebody on my Twitter, I know who it was, but I don't, you know, I'm not going to put their Twitter handle out there, but brought up a good point. It was from Spain, somebody from Spain. And they were saying essentially, you know, is this Real Madrid tired of winning titles? And sometimes I think that's a valid question because you can get a team that's won so much and players that have won so much where the fire is no longer really in them anymore. The desire to win is a lot less than it used to be because of the fact that they've won so much already. And those players, as good as they may be and as talented as they may be, become dangerous because it's almost like, we've already been there before, you know? And any, and I think any player that has that sort of attitude has to be, you know, let go from the team, because it's obviously an assault on the professionalism of Madrid and all that. And I'm not saying they do it on purpose, though. I'm saying, you know, it can happen where you become, you decide to rest on your laurels, as they say, and you decide to just say, you know what, I've won everything I've wanted to win. I think I'm done. I think it's time to move on. I think there's a new project that I would like to go to. Maybe I need a change of scenery. Maybe I need something to find that fire again. And, you know, that's, to me, that's completely respectable. You know, if you can be honest with yourself and say, I'm going to step to the side because I'm no longer going to be the best player I can be at this team. And the best thing you can do is step aside and not drag the team down. But not many players are going to give up the chance to play at Real Madrid or make the money that they're making. Obviously, they're not making Messi money. But Messi money, as in Lionel Messi, can get really messy. Because you can already see what's happening to Barcelona. And not that I think it's entirely his fault that Barcelona is where it is. But hell, man, that's a lot of money to be paying one man. Since 2017, hoping he'd win you a Champions League, and that's since 2017. In those years, he hasn't won. He's won zilch. When it comes to Champions League, which is the one title we all know they're after, while Real Madrid has won three. And not to talk much about Barcelona, but you know, and then giving away, you know, just letting Luis Suarez go to essentially now. To your big, one of your biggest rivals, and essentially now he's scoring, you know, he's the highest scorer in the league, and he's running, you know, Atletico Madrid is running away with the title with the guy that you let go from your team. So, going back to Madrid, it's time, guys. I don't want to drag this one on too much. So I don't even know how many we're at. I think we're at, you know, 27 minutes right now. I don't want to drag this one on too much because essentially it's the same shit. Okay, we all know what needs to happen here. This team needs a complete overhaul. Now, I'll tell you the truth. I hope Sergio Ramos stays, because I think Sergio Ramos is more valuable to this team than a lot of the players that we currently have on the team. But it goes about attitude. If he doesn't want to be here, then let him go. You know, and here's the other thing. I'll say this. I'm not in the habit of defending billionaires. Because for all in purpose, I don't think Florentino is obviously a saint or the nicest guy that's ever lived, or think he's the best person that's ever, you know, ever done, best businessman in the world, as in, is essentially, he's not, I don't think he's essentially a clean guy, uncorruptible. When you manage that much of money and football, I think there's little things there that probably make people look twice, you know? But let's be real. You know, we got to be happy at this point. You know, I think people need to start thinking that we're living in the middle right now of a pandemic. Football, ladies and gentlemen, is the last thing on a lot of people's minds. It might be the escape that a lot of us are getting from our daily lives, which in many cases for a lot of people are absolute garbage, because they've lost jobs, they've lost friends and family, they've lost all kinds of privileges of just going about their normal daily lives. And the only thing they have to do is, the only thing that makes them happy is watching football, right? But football doesn't live in a bubble where it's completely isolated from the things that are going on around the world. We've seen Bayern lost in the DFB Pokal to a third string team, to a third division team. Real Madrid lost in the Copa del Rey to a third division team. Dortmund has lost, where we are looking at Haaland as a potentially important player for us. This weekend, PSG lost, where we are looking at Mbappe as a potential player that we want to bring in. Barcelona, our biggest rival, a player, a team that has been dominant for many years in La Liga, that has been fighting us tooth and nail for the last 10 odd years or more, is on the verge of bankruptcy due to the pandemic and due to their own stupidity too. PSG has lost millions of dollars or euros. They're all suffering. A lot of teams are suffering. Juventus doesn't know what to do with Cristiano's wages. A lot of teams don't know where they're going to go next. And they don't know when this is all going to end and when they're going to be able to get money back. And Florentino is the one that has had to come out and say, you know, for all of the things that people were talking about, I know everyone's expecting some sort of like, oh, why is that? Why are we not signing people? And why are we not getting Mbappe? And why are we not getting Haaland? And let's start looking at Kimmich. And let's start looking at, and you guys, I mean, I think a lot of you live in an absolute fairy tale. Because there's no way that that's possible without letting go of half of the team we currently have now. Granted, I think we should do that. We should let go of about half of the players we have now. But in a time of COVID, there's also going to be situations that are going to be painful for us. And painful for the players too, which is why, although I defend Sergio Ramos because I think he is one of the best players in the world, and he is, for me, the best center back in the world, and I think for every Madridista, and he supposedly bleeds white for us all the time and said he would play for free, then I do think it's kind of bullshit for him to say, hey, man, I don't want to take a 10% pay cut if you extend my contract for 2 years or 3 years. You know, if we're willing to break our, if Real Madrid and Florentino is willing to break his rule of not signing players for contracts longer than 1 year when they pass 30, and he's going to break it for you and say, listen, man, I'll give you a 2-year contract, which is what you're asking me for. But I need to give you a 10% pay cut on that salary. And here, let's be real, guys. It's not like he's singling Sergio Ramos out with this pay cut. He did it to Jovic. He did it to Odegaard. Modric accepted it. And I don't care how many people come out and say, if you want to come out and come on here or go on Twitter and say that Modric is a 35-year-old or whatever, Modric has been, bottom line, him and Toni Kroos have been the best players on the pitch. Casemiro started out shaky, but he's once again to his best, and he's been scoring goals for us. These are the guys that are playing the game essentially for us. And Courtois is saving our ass between the posts. Those are the guys that are putting their heart on the line. Those are the guys that I see that are actually working hard to play for this team. The only other one I would say that does that is Sergio Ramos, and I think he's an incredible leader, and I think he's a good player, and Lucas Vazquez. I think they're good. I think they're, you know, they're two separate levels of players, obviously. I think Lucas Vazquez really does love Madrid and all that stuff, but I don't think he's a high quality player unless you're going to put him into rotation, and he's, you know, he's had a great season, sure, but the man's what, 29? He's going to turn 30? And he's asking for a pay raise during COVID? Sergio Ramos is asking for a raise during COVID, and now we're seeing all this stuff coming out from Florentino saying, listen, man, we just don't have the money. What we're doing is saving money and going into a period of austerity in order to save this club. Because remember, there are no people going to the stadiums. And the people going to the stadiums are what is going to generate money. It's not only going to generate money from the live gate or, you know, basically people buying tickets, but it's going to generate money from people buying shit at the stores and buying things at the stadium and all that type of stuff. Just revenue and revenue upon revenue, right? You need that. And all the teams all over Europe have lost that. And the one thing he doesn't want to do, which I, you know, I kind of appreciate, is saying, listen, I don't want to fall into a Barcelona situation where I'm paying massive, massive amounts of salaries because they have the highest wage bill out of any team in the world. I don't want to have to spend that much and end up basically being in massive amounts of debt. We need to fix the books, and we need to go, and we need to basically be conscious of what we're spending. And I think it would be an absolute killer leadership play by Sergio Ramos if he were to step out and say, you know what, guys? I'm going to take the pay cut. So, you know, Florentino, give me the 2 years. I'll take the pay cut. But I'm gonna do it for Madrid. And you know, this whole thing about loyalty, it's thrown around so much. Very few players are loyal. And it's kind of a push-shove kind of thing. It's kind of a very thin line because there's loyalty, but then there's also business. But I don't know, man. Not living or living in a happy-go-lucky kind of world, I guess. But if you're making $12 million a year, man, you got no right to bitch and complain. You know? When we talk about like the 1% of people, you are that 1% of people that are making that amount of money. You know? To tell me that these players are worth that amount of money, the amount of money that Messi's making, the amount, you know, that you get to tell me that they're worth that amount of money because, you know, they are what they've done for a club, what they've done for football. I mean, it doesn't fly with me. And then not be willing to take a pay cut during a pandemic. You know, then you can't talk to me about loyalty. Just be real. You're not loyal to the team. You're loyal to the highest bidder, man. You're loyal to the one that's going to pay you the most money. You know? Loyalty. I'll tell you about loyalty. Loyalty is Karim Benzema, who very seldomly have we ever seen ask for a raise, if that. Loyalty is Luka Modric, who cut because he wants to stay at Real Madrid. Loyalty are the guys we see a lot of times, and that's where I appreciate Serie A. Loyalty is the guys like Totti, De Rossi, Buffon. Look at Buffon. Buffon followed Juventus down to second division when they got relegated because of the whole Calciopoli controversy. The man followed them and still hung with the team. And he's still there. I mean, he left the PSG, because he will, I guess, but he's still back now at Juventus. And probably he's going to end his career there. And he doesn't care whether he gets played all the time or not. And Krzyzewski is the one who is, first keeper. But these guys stayed their whole lives at the team. And that was loyalty, man. So, like, that to me is what, like, if Sergio Ramos were to come, and, you know, and I love the guy, I said, but if he were to come out and say, listen, you know what, I'm going to take the pay cut. I'll take the pay cut. Give me that because I want to end with Real Madrid. And I want to see and I want to help this team as it goes through this new revolution of young players and help move them along. I would love to see that. But maybe it's time for him to move on and we'd save a lot of money not having him. So I do think that there's a lot of players that obviously have to go. If Varane wants to leave, sell Varane. You can get a pretty penny for Varane. And I would stick with Militao. And Alaba, if he comes on a free, but we can manage, you know, to get him to agree to less wages, then I agree to that. And if Sergio Ramos stays, that'd be great. If he leaves, well, that's going to be tough. We're going to have Alaba and Militao. Nacho. Nacho has a contract till 2022. I would stick with Nacho. I think he's shown that when he plays center back, he's, you know, he plays well. I trust him at center back. I don't trust him at right back, but I trust him at center back. And then work on, you know, getting new guys up there. You know, if you're gonna bring in Chust. You know, save us some money there. If you're gonna get rid of, you know, we can offload guys like Odriozola, Lucas Vazquez, Vinicius. Decide what you want to do with Vinicius. But I'm telling you, so I reported on this earlier this week that the news that was coming out supposedly that Vinicius, that Real Madrid doesn't want to give up the deal with Mbappe, that they think he's the future of Real Madrid. Jota told me that that's all smoke and that's smoke and mirrors and that's not true and that's not going to happen. But, you know, I read it in an article and I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, if they're saying that PSG would be willing to negotiate, I think they were saying, okay, Mbappe is 160 million, right? We'll take players and cash for Mbappe. We're interested in essentially the names that they had on their list were Casemiro, Courtois, Varane, and Vinicius. And I think the consensus was, you're not touching Casemiro and Courtois, but you can take Vinicius and Varane. I'd be totally willing for that deal to happen. Vinicius at this point has shown absolutely the potential that he was supposed to have, the potential that he was supposed to live to. We're not going to wait for that forever. And he's been given plenty of opportunities. To say he hasn't had minutes would be a lie. He's been given minutes. And he's looked terrible the last few games that he's been given minutes. And even the rumors are that the club, that the players love him, that he's great, that he's nice, that he's a hard worker, you know, all of those things. That's all good and nice. But then they also said that they don't think he's going to be a star and they don't think he's going to be, you know, a top player, at least not anytime soon. And that's something that Zidane said, but that was also some people inside the dressing room. And I tell you, I agree with it. I've said it time and again, I think on a couple of different podcasts, that I believe that Rodrigo is the better acquisition out of the two young Brazilian players that we got. Rodrigo is the better acquisition. He may not be as quick, he may not be as daring on his runs, but he's better at his decision making is better and his finishing has been better. He's actually scored some goals for us. And I think he looks solid. Somebody or the other put up, you know, that our front three definitely should be, you know, if they were healthy, would be Hazard, Benzema, and Rodrigo. And I would go with that. I mean, it's not 100% what we want, but yeah, I would go with it. More than Asensio. So, you know, that's what I feel. And then your typical, your Isco, your Marcelo, Asensio at this point, you know, whatever. If you want to get rid of him, get rid of him too. So I would say, here's my list. Here's my list that I've been talking about. Isco, Marcelo are the givens. Asensio, Varane, Vinicius, Lucas Vazquez. What is that, six players? You know, obviously I would say keep Modric, Kroos, Kroos and Casemiro. Keep Dani Carvajal, but you're going to have to look for somebody. Keep Mendy, you know, but you bring back Reguilón, bring back Brahim Diaz, You know, and that's kind of a start there, right? If you want to offload Luka Jovic, offload Luka Jovic, but you got to get rid of Mariano too, and then you got to bring in somebody. You know, Mayoral is killing it. Who do you guys prefer, Mayoral or Jovic? I prefer Jovic, but Mayoral, you know, he's killing it too, and he was doing. But I prefer Jovic. And he's doing really well at Roma, Mayoral. And bring back and start investing in this youth and in these youth players. Let's give a run to Blanco. You know, Antonio Blanco from Castilla. You know, we haven't seen him play at all. Give him a run. I've liked what I've seen from the kid. Give him a run out. You know. Let's start. If the idea is to save money, then let's start building from the inside. And we will suffer, guys. We're going to suffer. Unless, of course, you know, we use some of that money and we buy somebody like Mbappe and we bring in somebody else that is going to be solid and they actually work to our benefit, then you're going to see things that are going to work out. If Sergio Ramos leaves or we sell Hazard, you're going to get a lot more money too. But at this point, these are the decisions that need to be made. You know, if Odegaard comes back, start using Odegaard. Valverde, obviously, I don't want to go anywhere. I think he's a very solid player. You know, but I gave you my list of people that should go. I like Benzema, so I don't want Benzema to go. but definitely he needs a coach that isn't going to be playing favorites to him. And that's the problem with Zidane. Zidane, I like Zidane, and I'm always going to be thankful to Zidane, but he is not the one that needs to be here for that project. The one that needs to be here for that project that we're talking about now, where all these guys, all these younger guys come back, you know, we stay with some of the older guys. You know, all of that has to be done by a coach that is willing to risk the youth and doesn't have any emotional ties. And see, this is where I think the reason Zidane is also probably as good as he is now a negative is essentially not because he's probably unwilling to play the youth, but I feel like he feels he owes something to the old guard. Either he's running on emotion instead of running on being realistic with what's going on. That's why he's not playing these new guys. He's also stubborn, doesn't want to play different tactics, doesn't want to try different things because he's set in his ways that the way he's done it before has brought him success. And so now that is what he's focused on. And he believes he can sort of resurrect the dead, and that's impossible. You know, there was a comment the other day on Twitter again when I'm making this, when I'm discussing with you guys, which is why I tell you, go on Twitter, man. Let's discuss it all out there. There's great Twitter conversations going on with Madrid and great people on Twitter, you know, that I think have helped me with this podcast because they're always giving some good takes, you know? And that's the thing. Somebody was saying, you know, Mendy is never going to be a Marcelo when it comes to attacking. Yeah, but, and you know, and what we need, prime Marcelo. Yeah, but prime Marcelo doesn't exist anymore. The dream is over, guys. The dream that we had, not the dream, the era is over. The cycle is over. That time of CR7 and BB and La BBC, that's all over, guys. It's done. And no amount of tinkering with the system is going to get it back. And that's for the old school Madridistas, who I would say are much like me, that I still have faith in Modric, Kroos, and Casemiro. And I still want them as part of the team because I think when they're firing on all cylinders, they're the absolute best. But those guys need rest. You can't be using them game in and game out, which is essentially what we don't have right now. You know, our backup is Isco. Valverde has been injured. And Odegaard, who you never played because you, for some reason, you didn't want to. So, and I'm talking about Zidane. So that's the situation. Those are the remnants of that team. Sergio Ramos is left, Benzema is left, Carvajal is left, and they still have games left in them. But they need to be rotated, and there needs to be new blood brought in. Or if not, we're done. We're just going to keep seeing the same results over and over and over again until these guys are just, you know, walking around with a cane. And if we keep Zidane, that's what we're going to get. And what is the definition of stupidity? Is doing the same thing over again and expecting different results, right? So that's where we need to stop. I think at this point it's, listen, guys, we're not going to win a damn thing this season. I have faith, and I'm still going to watch every game. Why? Because I watch every game because I'm a real fan. I'm going to watch every game. I'll be with them until the wheels fall off, as they say. Until the ship sinks. And you better be ready, Madridistas, for some tough times. Because you can't be with us. You know, how is that whole saying go? Is if you can't handle me on my bad days, then you don't deserve me on my good days. That's what being Madridista is, guys. That's what being a fan and a real fan is. You know? So if you can't handle a loss against Alcoyano and handle it like a true fan and still believe in the team and still love the team regardless of some bad results, then you don't deserve them when they win three Champions Leagues or win La Liga again or win un triplete one day, which that'll eventually happen. You know? So, you know, stick with it. We're in for some rough times, but some decisions need to be made. And I hope they're made. You know? And I think, you know, like I said, I think Zidane is going to be done by the end of the season. I think he himself doesn't want to be here anymore. Because he knows that I think he's too stubborn to realize that his time is also... part of the end. It's part of the old cycle that is finished. So what we need to do is the team needs to just like Marca's cover was saying, is they need to wake up, grind out these last games, give a good showing in the Champions League, and hopefully we can walk away with a trophy. It's going to be tough because Atletico Madrid is not going to give that thing up. And the Champions League is going to be tough. But we give it what we got until the end. And we wait for what happens in the summer. And in the summer, whether it's, you know, Allegri who comes in, who's one of the guys that's in the rumors, or it's Nagelsmann, or whoever comes in, or it's Raul, whatever. Hopefully he's going to take that spot, and hopefully he's going to realize and what, you know, the club's ideas are, and that right now is a rebuilding process, and start building up the youth players and start putting some confidence in them. And hopefully in conjunction with some of our old guard that is still there and will still there be there next season, we get some good results and we start building on a better future for eventually what Real Madrid is going to be again. We are going to return to those days, guys. We are going to return to the days where we won. We're going to win Champions Leagues, where we're going to win La Ligas, and we're always going to be sitting at the top. I have no doubts about that. Because this is Real Madrid. You know, since 1902, it's been the team to beat. It's been the team everybody else wants to be and always talks trash about because they want to be him. Because they would want to have one just millisecond of the same amount of glory that Real Madrid has had. So let's go. So let's be with the team in the good times and the bad. You know, And we'll see what happens. Let's just grind out these wins. But also, like, going back to the Levante game before I say goodbye here, it's it was an uphill battle. Injuries. I mean, look at me. No Ramos, no Carvajal, no Lucas Vázquez, who I think in this situation would be what we needed more so on the field, you know, or at least having him available. No Fede Valverde, you know. We didn't have the team that we usually have that we can win games like this. And then, in addition to that, we're playing with 10 men. Let's be real, guys. That was a hard game to win that way. With all the drama that's going on around the team, and then having all these injuries, having our coach out with COVID, having, you know, Nacho out with COVID, all of those things happening. And then on top of that, you have injuries, and now you're down to down to 10 men. That was battle from the get-go. Let Barcelona and Atletico Madrid celebrate right now that they're ahead. It's not always going to be that way. It pisses us off for sure, but we'll be back. And like it always happens, Real Madrid is going to have the last laugh. All right, guys. So that's it for my rant today. You know, like I said, it was one of those podcasts where I was sad and fired up, you know, and I'm drinking. So, but thank you again for joining me on this podcast. Thank you again for listening to Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid podcast. I really appreciate all the support, guys. Listening to, I know I see the stats on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts. I see the responses. You know, my guy that handles all the designs and stuff on Instagram and Facebook, posting everything, you know, I see the responses there. And you know, also thank you for Real Madrid Hub. I mean, some of you guys are coming over to Real Madrid Hub and are enjoying that. You know, if you are listening to me, go head out to Real Madrid Hub. You'll see my face. I do some video reactions. You also see Jota there. And we're posting things. We're posting things constantly about what's going on all over the La Liga and all the craziness that's going on right now in La Liga. You know, I'll tell you this, it is kind of a good time to be in the podcasting world and be podcasting about Madrid. Because what would we be doing? What would I be saying if we were winning every game 6-0, 5-0, 4-0? What was I going to talk about? Just good job, everybody? Every single game? No, drama. Drama drives things. And I know we wouldn't want to have drama, but, you know, I think it's going to be dramatic for a couple. It's going to be dramatic for a little bit. But it's going to be enjoyable. And in the end, Real Madrid is going to laugh again, and we're going to get that, you know, we're going to get La Liga titles. We're going to get Copa del Rey. We're going to get Champions Leagues. We're going to be running away with titles. All right. So just hang in there, guys. And thank you for listening. Remember to follow us on Y Nada Más. You can follow on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Y Nada Más Podcast. Our website is also info@enadamas.net. And then also check out our YouTube channel that I have in conjunction with my good friend Jota Real Madrid, which is Real Madrid Hub on YouTube. So just search Real Madrid Hub on YouTube and you should see our videos there. Quick, you know, news segments and things like that of some of the latest news coming out of Spain. And that's it, guys. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for joining in this space with me while we rant about Madrid and talk about the team that we love. If you have any comments or anything, send them, you know, social media, go into the DMs, go into the comments, go into all of those things and send me a message and, you know, maybe I'll answer a question on the podcast or answer a question on Real Madrid Hub, you know, comments, whatever, let me know. And then if you are on Twitter, please hit me up on Twitter. I'm always on Twitter. I'm always kind of commenting back and forth on there and dropping some, you know, different opinions and things like that. and we can talk there. So thank you very much again, and we'll talk again soon.
This has been Y Nada Más, al Real Madrid Podcast.